your finances on a higher power. Being good stewards of the financial resources God has bestowed upon each of us is the key to financial success in life. It's your finances on a higher power. Here's your host, Paula T. Webb.
Hello, everyone. This is Paula T. back with you again. This week, I thought I have some good examples of what it means when traders are stuck in a loop of indifference. I'm going to start out by giving you a typical email or call to my office from traders. A lot of the time they will send an email because, you know, I have that open offer for the free call, and they may send an email or they might even pick up the phone and call me and say, you know, what is it that I can expect from you? Well, first of all, I don't even know what their trading challenges are, so I don't know how they expect me to answer that. Now, yes, I can give them some basics about how I can help them learn how to think like a winner, which is kind of an outdated statement because that's not primarily what I do. What I do, and I'll explain here very briefly, is that I help traders learn how to think for themselves. I help traders understand that they don't know what they don't know, and that may be limiting their success. So last week I got a call from a trader, and we had been kind of going back and forth for a couple months about, you know, whether he wanted a paid paid consultation or he just wanted to take advantage of the free call. So finally I just said, look, make up your mind what you want to do. You know, if you want the free call, do the free call. See what comes out of it. So we finally scheduled it, and on Friday we had our chit chat, as I'll call it. So I spent probably a good 35 minutes with him answering his questions. And at the end of all that, he, you know, we're doing it via Zoom, and he looked at me and he says, well, you know, that's kind of vague. And I said, you asked a question. I answered that question specifically how you asked it. So how is that vague? And he said, well, I don't know, but it's just vague. So here we have, you know, sometimes a typical trader who thinks they already know everything they need to know, but their results are not reflecting that. And so because that's gone on usually for some period of time, they have actually become indifferent to their results. Now, they may claim they don't like their results. They may claim to be upset that their results are not what they want and that their equity is dwindling and not growing. But the bottom line is, folks, is that if you are not willing to take a look at your trading behaviors, your actions while you're in the markets, and if you keep repeating the same actions over and over again, knowing that that's detrimental to growing your equity, then you're indifferent. You're indifferent. Because if you truly wanted to be successful as a trader, you'd make up your mind and you would become successful as a trader. Now, I'm generalizing here, and not every trader that calls me is like that or has that kind of an attitude, but I'm bringing this up for a point. We are programmed to be indifferent in today's society. We are programmed day in and day out to turn a blind eye, to listen to one side or the other and not take in the whole picture. Okay? All you gotta do is just look at all the backbiting going on in Washington. All you gotta do is, you know, watch people who don't even smile at each other, don't look at each other in the eye, you know, in the checkout line at the grocery store or walking down the sidewalk. We're programmed to be indifferent to each other. And when we're programmed to be indifferent to humanity or the animal kingdom, that means we don't have a connection to God, or at least it's not very strong. And it means that we are indifferent to ourselves and our own success. Now, I'm going to give you a really powerful example of this. Here in Southern California, where I live, we have an American Hockey League, and I think I might have mentioned this before. It's the Coachella Valley Firebirds. And I have a season ticket because I just love hockey. Mark Douglas played hockey from the time he was 4 years old. My father played when he was young. I played for a season on a women's league in Chicago. And then that was way too rough for me. And so I ended up just refereeing a lot of Mark's games in his leagues. But even beside that, you know, I was his biggest fan, his team's biggest fan, along with the other wives and girlfriends, of course, who attended every single game. So it's in my blood. Let's put it that way. So I love hockey. I was so excited that they got the team here. Now, this is the second season that they have made it into the championship playoffs. So it's like almost like a minor league Stanley Cup playoffs. It's fascinating because since it's the American Hockey League, a lot of these players are going to be scouted to move up to the NHL. So we're talking top caliber, you know, top grade players who are looking to further their careers. So we're in game four of the playoffs last Tuesday, and I bought a playoff ticket because, you know, playoff tickets are not included in your season ticket, of course, like with all venues. And I was all excited and get to the stadium, get to the arena, sit down and kind of talking with the people around me. We're all excited and we've got our popcorn and our soda pop and we're just having a good time. So then they come out, they play the national anthem. Everybody's standing up, you know, eyes on the flag, hand over your heart, or giving a salute if they were military or law enforcement. And the singer had barely gotten the words "Home of the Brave" out of her mouth before the entire arena erupted into shouting, "You suck!" and the name of the opposing team. This was mind-boggling to me. Just blew my mind. It's like we're having this beautiful moment with the national anthem. She's barely done singing, and the whole arena erupts into being nasty towards the opposing team. That's disgusting, number one. Do you know how many kids under the age of 16 are in that arena at that night? A lot. And this is what they're teaching their children? So I turned to the guy next to me, and I said, "What's up with that?" He goes, "Oh, you know." He did, and he laughed, and he said, "Oh, it's no big deal." And I said, "Well, yeah, it is a big deal. We're talking about championship teams here. Why would you shout that to the other team?" He said, "Well, apparently you don't understand sports." I'm like, "Yeah, I do." Anyway, I let it go. So the game started. The Firebirds made two goals in the first 10 minutes. Everybody's shouting. Everybody's ecstatic. And then, of course, the unthinkable happened, that the opposing team, the Hershey Bears from Hershey, Pennsylvania, made a goal. And once again, the stadium erupted with cussing and swearing and "you suck" and blah, blah, blah. I mean, I'm sure you can imagine. And I looked around me at all these adults, and now the kids are laughing and hearing this and going along with it. And I just thought to myself, I can't stay here. I cannot stay at the game. I stayed a total of 15 minutes in the first period, and I left. And I'll tell you why. This whole entire arena had become indifferent to accepting that another team was just as good as our team. This wasn't just, you know, normal rivalry. This wasn't even competition. This was a nasty diatribe against players who are extremely talented. And the fact that nobody would stop saying it, that, you know, I asked them to stop saying it, the people around me, they had become so immune to the fact that this was so inappropriate. It was unbelievable. Now, the reason that I bring this up is because when anyone becomes indifferent to negativity around them, then they no longer have focus. And when you no longer have focus, then you're no longer in touch with yourself. And when you're no longer in touch with yourself, then how is it you think you can accomplish any goals? Now let's think about this for a moment, guys. If you are indifferent to anything anybody else is saying around you or to you, and you go along with that, even though deep down inside you may not agree with it, but you go along with it, then you no longer have focus, you're no longer in touch with yourself, and you no longer know what you think or believe. And now you're in a closed loop of what I call CZL, comfort zone of lack. Okay, the comfort zone of lack. What do I mean by that? And guys, when I'm talking about any of these things, and I know I've said this before, but I'm not attacking anybody. I'm not putting anybody down. It's just, this is just life. This is just, we're all part of society and we get immune to things from time to time. But as traders, we have to recognize when we have a comfort zone of lack, because we have become immune and indifferent to a lot of things because it just constantly surrounds us. This was one of the reasons that I suggest that traders stop watching the news. As I've said many times, Mark and I stopped watching the news, gosh, decades ago. Now, that doesn't mean that we're out of touch with reality. It just means we're not watching the nightly news every day because there's nothing pleasant on there. There is nothing positive that is going to enhance our mindset to create our financial goals. Nothing. Now, I mean, I don't know, you know what you think about that, but next time, you know, write down take a pad of paper if you feel you want to watch the news for an hour or a day or whatever, and write down the number of positive stories, whether local or national, versus negative stories. I'm going to tell you right now, there isn't going to be any positive stories. Or if there is one, it's, you know, a 30-second glitch or blurb on the local news, and it's certainly not on the national news. So my point is, we have been conditioned to be indifferent to negativity. And that's unacceptable for traders, for any trader who wants to become a success. Now, how do you break out of the cycle of indifference? I don't know how many of you might have seen the movie in 2010 titled The Black Swan. It's with Natalie Portman and Vincent Cassel, and it's about the ballet world. And the character of Natalie Portman, at one point, she seems to be having a breakdown of some sort in the movie because it appears she's having a problem handling the stress of becoming the star dancer. And as she's wrestling with her fear of success, as well as the fear of not being good enough, Vincent Cassel's character reminds her that she is good enough for the role as principal dancer. And he says to her, and this is really key, guys, he says, "The only person standing in your way is you. Lose yourself." Now, what does that mean? What that means is he was telling her that she was caught in a closed loop cycle of conflicting beliefs. She desperately wanted to be the principal dancer. She knew almost 100% that she could be, but even that 1% was holding her back. And this is what is so typical with so many traders that I work with. They're 99% sure that they can make it and they can take, you know, the tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions out of the market. But they got that 1%. And because it's been there so long in their lives, not just as a trader, but just in general, that they've gotten used to it. They've gotten used to being indifferent to that 1% that's holding them back from making it. So my point here is that you have to lose yourself in this process. You have to embrace it with both hands, with every fiber of your being. You have to approach trading without any doubt in your mind as being able to accomplish being a successful trader as mindlessly as you know that you can drive a car. Now, if somebody walked up to you at a party and said to you, "Oh, you don't know how to drive," you would just laugh and walk away because, of course, yes, everyone knows how to drive, right? I'm just talking about cars. I'm not talking about motorcycles because I personally never learned how to drive a motorcycle. I can be a passenger, but I never figured out the shifting. Now, I can drive a stick shift car, but I never got the translation over to the motorcycle with the hand maneuvers versus the feet and all that. So I'm just using the car as an analogy. So everyone knows how to drive a car effortlessly. In the beginning, we didn't, of course. We were panicked. We were looking all around. It's like, what do I do here? Do I press on the brake, step on the gas? Oh, my God, the light's changing, blah, blah, blah. And all that just took was practice. And it's no different with trading. Okay? But if you, and this is what I'm saying, I teach traders what they don't know. I teach them that they don't know what they don't know. And what they don't know is that they still have that 1%, and I'm just using that as a general number, they still have that 1% where they're afraid of failure. And anyone will be afraid of failure if they don't totally lose themselves in the process to become the best that they can be. Now, let's look at a Michael Jordan. I would say that a lot of people would agree that he's probably one, if not the best basketball player ever. And I know a lot of people argue with me on this, as, oh, Kobe Bryant was a lot better. Okay, I don't care. Pick an athlete that you think is the best, all right? Now, take a look at their career. Take a look at their lives. 9 times out of 10, they've really made it, right? Otherwise, we wouldn't even hear about them. So do you think that they didn't totally lose themselves into becoming the best athlete they could be? No. They embraced it 3,000%. They lived and breathed and acted like a winning athlete, a professional winning athlete. And we as traders need to do the same. This is your job. This is your career. This is your money. You should be approaching this professionally and with a mindset of knowing you can do it. Now, if you can't approach it from a mindset of knowing you can do it, hello, that's what I'm here for. Okay? And it's normal because we are not taught any of the skills we need as traders anywhere else in our life. We have to learn from scratch from day one. When we first decide to become a trader, it's like we're going to kindergarten. It's the first day of school, and plop, you're in it, and you got to go from there. So just keep that in mind, that you have to approach trading with the same passion that you have in other areas of your life. You know, I've worked with a lot of semi-pro athletes and even a few pro athletes in my career over the years, and one of the things that they have said is that, oh, of course I'm the best baseball player, you know, on third base when I was on the team. Absolutely. And I would say to them, well, that's the same attitude you have to have as a trader. I'm the best trader at T-bonds for me. I'm the best at crypto for me. Or whatever it is you're trading. You have to believe that about yourself. Not about what anybody else is doing. Not about what any other traders are taking out of the market. You have to lose yourself in the process of learning how to think. Learning how to think in ways you've never had to before. and embrace the journey with one of joy, knowing that our Heavenly Father is right beside you, encouraging you. He wants you to be as prosperous as you want to be, but He can't do it alone. Like I said last week, talking about, you know, the movie The Secret and What the Bleep, you can't just pray, guys. You can't just wish and hope. You have to be proactive. And being proactive means you have to know what you're thinking, why you're thinking it, and where it came from. And when you know those three aspects of your mental environment, then you can step back and say, okay, all of these beliefs, all of these ideas, all of these suggestions, all of these things that worked for me so far have gotten me to this point where I am successful enough to open a trading account. And that's great. Because as I said before, there are countless people out there that would love to be traders, but they don't have it. They don't have the money. They don't have the time, whatever. And here, you do. So right away, you have to say, all right, I'm successful to a certain degree right now, here today. Where am I going to go tomorrow? And with that, you need to break free from the comfort zone of lack. And when you do that, the sky's the limit.
Paula T. Webb will be back with us in a moment. It's Your Finances on a Higher Power.
Okay, so let's just say that you have identified that you're in that closed loop of the comfort zone of lack. Where this comes from is, again, being indifferent to comfortably hoarding emotional ties to the past. And that past may not be productive to who you want to become as a trader and what you want to achieve. And this is, like I said, this is normal, guys. Everybody goes through this, all right? You're not alone. So what we have to recognize is you have to realize that you are the only one that is not giving yourself permission to become a successful trader. You. Now, I'm not discounting the fact that you may have family members or friends who don't like trading in general and maybe, you know, calling you a gambler or other negative things. But the bottom line is, if you truly want to be a trader and a successful one, then you have to believe in you and not what anybody else behind you or beside you or in front of you is saying to you. Now, a good example of not giving yourself permission is not making a list of your achievements. Now, I've said this many times, you know, in my work over the decades. Many times I'll give this exercise to traders, especially when I had my my chat room for 5 years. On Friday afternoons, every couple months, I'd say, hey, make a list of your achievements. And the following Monday, I'd say, okay, somebody start sharing your list of achievements. And not one of the traders ever in 5 years, not one of those traders took the time to make a list. It was incredible to me. And so I'd say, well, would you count having a trading account as an achievement? And then they'd hem and haw and they'd say, oh yeah, I guess so. Really? Wow. So, you know, you have to take this into your mind, guys, because if you can't make a list of your own achievements, no one else is going to. And if you don't think you've achieved anything, including just opening a trading account, which is an achievement, by the way, then how is it you think you're going to grow that money? You have no foundation to believe that you can. The other thing is you have to give yourself permission to do what you really want and not just give it face value. I mean, you have to give yourself permission to say, I'm going to be a trader. I'm going to be successful. It has to be okay. It has to be reconciled in your mental, spiritual, and emotional environment. And whether you have problems with your faith making money or being wealthy, Can't tell you how many traders come to me saying, well, you know, wealthy men don't get into heaven. And yet there they are trading the markets saying, oh, I really want to take $1 million out of the markets. Well, first of all, $1 million to me means that you're wealthy. I think that's a, you know, pretty good generalization for most people. I think if most people had $1 million, they'd feel pretty wealthy. And yet here these guys have this conflict about their faith saying, well, I want to go to heaven, but if I make a lot of money, then I can't get in. So I guess I'm not going to make a lot of money, even though I'm a trader. So then those are the boom and busters. So is it no wonder that there's little or no upward or forward movement in your financial outlook? Because you haven't given yourself permission. And you haven't given yourself permission because you are comfortable. You are comfortable in the zone of lack because you've become indifferent to being successful. You may deny future efforts because of past events and experiences, and that in turn allows you to ignore any opportunities in the market that come your way. This is the way it works, guys. It really does. So think about how different your life as a trader can be. Just think how different it could be if you simply give yourself permission to follow your dream and become the best trader you can be. Now think about that, guys. How hard would that be? You don't know, though, because you haven't tried it yet. This is what I teach you. This is what I teach traders. You have to take that leap of faith. You have to know that God is right next to you saying, come on, I know you can do it. I know you can do it. And I'm giving you permission to be the best trader you can be. So ask yourself, why aren't you giving yourself permission to be the best trader you can be? Because that's what it boils down to. So in my book, Success Without Fear, I have a lot of graphs that show how this stuff works. And there's a graph in there called Complete Permissions Life Graph. And there's three key points. Number one, you have to take hold of the reins for your life as a trader. You need to take the reins back from anyone else that you may have allowed to be in charge, to whatever degree. Okay? You have to give yourself permission to embrace your own goals. You know you have goals. You wouldn't be listening to this if you didn't have unresolved goals, unfulfilled goals. I get it. And you have to have a knowing of yourself that you don't even know. You haven't even begun to find out what you can accomplish, especially as a trader. So one of the easiest ways to start giving yourself permission is you just remember you have to start somewhere. Okay, so find something easy to give yourself permission to do and do it. Okay? And then find something else that's easy to give yourself permission to do and do that. And before long, you're going to begin to find yourself becoming more empowered at achieving goals, no matter what they are. And those people around you that may have held those reins are going to start becoming more unempowered over your goals. Because now you will be allowing yourself to create your life as a trader. So I'm just going to give you some examples of how to get started by empowering yourself to take back the reins and give yourself permission. You know, learn how to snowboard if you don't know. You know, buy an outfit that you wouldn't normally buy, but one you've always wanted to wear. Get a new haircut or a new style. Okay? For women, you know, paint your nails a vibrant color you never wore before. For you men, take an expensive sports car for a test drive. Like a really expensive sports car. Okay? Try out for a local sports team. Learn how to play a new instrument. Eat some type of food that you've never had before. Paint an accent wall in your trading office. Decorate your office with something unique or something that represents prosperity. Learn a foreign language. and you know, something like, you know, these are just some ideas, okay? And these are things you can easily give yourself permission to do, right? Because once you begin this process, then all those small permissions start accumulating into you believing in yourself. More importantly, you allowing yourself to do more and more for yourself and about yourself. And keep in mind, folks, change is good. I know we were all brought up, oh, don't change your job. You know, that makes you look like a loser. You know, why can't you make up your mind? Why are you stuck in a rut? You know, all these kind of things that you know, decry changing and put change down. But you have to be flexible as a trader in your thinking. So no matter what anyone else says about change, change is always a good thing for traders. Okay? So you need to keep that in mind, that change is good. So I'm going to give you some quotes here. One of the most popular quotes we can find in believing in ourselves, and one I try to rely on when I feel stuck from time to time because I'm human, is from the Bible, the book of Matthew. And we've all heard this. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Now, you know, it's written differently in different versions of the Bible, but it's the same intent. Now, here's a quote from the Hindu faith. The winds of God's grace are always blowing. It is for us to raise our sails. Isn't that nice? The winds of grace are always blowing. It is for us to raise our sails. That's giving ourselves permission once again. Now, there's a quote from the great theologian Desiré Joseph Mercier, and he writes, how is it then that the voice of God is not more distinctly heard by men? The answer to this question is, to be heard, it must be listened for. It must be listened for. A Russian proverb says, go forward, go Godward, thou will find the road. And then this one from Martin Luther King. Love yourself, if that means rational and healthy self-interest. You are commanded to do that. That is the length of life. So my point here today, guys, is no matter what faith you subscribe to, you have to believe that there is a higher power within you, and there is a higher power around you that surrounds you, that is waiting for you to listen, waiting for you to give yourself permission to be who you want to be. And this is the beauty of God and our universe. You are allowed to do what you want to do if you give yourself permission to. Prosperity is there for the taking. But you have to decide that you deserve it. You have to decide that it's okay to have it. More importantly, you have to choose that it's okay to keep it for you boom and busters out there. As I've said many times, I have no problem making any amount of money that comes my way because I work for it, just like you work for it. You work for it every day in your trading, don't you? Yes, you do. So the point is, start believing in yourself. God believes in you. Every single one of you out there, whether you go to church or not, it doesn't matter. You can pray anywhere. I pray lots of times sitting at a red light. I pray when I'm in the shower. It doesn't matter. Because I know God is listening. As I've mentioned before, one of my favorite teachers, who's still alive, is Catherine Ponder. And I cannot suggest strongly enough that for any traders out there listening who are having trouble growing their equity, I can't stress this strongly enough that you get a copy of Catherine Ponder's book, The Dynamic Laws of Prosperity, which you can find on Amazon. And again, although it was written in the 1960s and the dollar amounts are reflective of that, the bottom line is her approach, her perspective, her affirmations, they work. I am living testimony to this, all right? Along with when I was a floor trader, learning from all the more experienced traders and following their trading systems, which they were gracious enough to share with me to help me learn how to trade, I was also privy to watching them trade and how they handled success or lack thereof. And, you know, one of the classic examples I have is one of my good buddies lost $25,000 on a Friday. And like, you know, within 15 minutes, I mean, you know, we're talking floor trading. He was scalping. He lost 25 grand. This is a guy who, you know, had a house, had a couple kids. You know, he had a lot of obligations financially. And every Friday, just about, a lot of us would go over to the Broker's Inn in the Board of Trade building, you know, for cocktails after work. So as I'm, you know, a new trader and I'm watching him lose this money, I'm panicking. I'm like, oh my God, this poor guy, 25 grand. That was a lot of money back in the 80s. I mean, it still is. And so as we're all walking off the trading floor, his name was Jeff, the guy who lost the money, turns around and goes, okay, everybody, I'll see you at the Broker's Inn in a few minutes. So I turned to a couple of the other guys and I said, oh my goodness, you know, how can he go out? He just, you know, he should be going home and I don't know what he should be doing, but certainly not going to the bar. And they just kind of laughed and they said, come on, you know. So we went over to the bar and, you know, Jeff was there and, you know, gave the bartender, you know, said, hey, you know, the tab's on me. And then back then, a lot of traders carried a lot of cash on them, you know, thousands. It would not be unheard of for any trader at that time to be carrying any less than $5,000 in cash in their wallet. Of course, this was before debit cards and all that. But the point is, that was, they were in touch with their money. And we'll get into that in the next segment. But, so, you know, the traders there, you know, they're loading up, you know, they're getting Louis the 15th or Louis the 14th, I think, that cognac, it's like, you know, $200 a shot. And, you know, just top notch. There was bottles of Dom Perignon and, you know, Cristal, just everything, just the high-end booze was just flowing. And I just sat there and watched everything. And finally, you know, Jeff comes over to me and he goes, what's the matter? You know, how come you're not having a drink? And I'm like, well, first of all, those guys are taking advantage of you. And he said, no, they're not. He said, there's been days when they've had, you know, picked up the tab. He said, it's just, we're just all friends. It's just the way we live. And I said, well, how can you be spending this kind of money when you just lost $25,000? And he looked me squarely in the eyes and he said, Paula, if you don't get what it means to think like a trader, then you better stop right now. And I looked at him, I said, what are you talking about? He said, you go home this weekend and you think about it. What do you think it means to be successful as a trader? Now, guys, you know, I'm like 23, 24 years old at the time. I didn't know what it meant. I mean, I thought I did, but I didn't. So I went home, got out my notepad, you know, my legal pad, and just started writing down what I thought it meant. And when it came to the realization that you can have a losing day, that doesn't mean that you're a loser. It just means the market went against him. Did he do everything right? Yeah, absolutely. The market just went against him. Now, to me, being 24 years old, 25 grand was like $1 million. But to him, it wasn't. First of all, because he was an experienced trader. He was in his late 30s, early 40s. And second of all, he knew he did everything right. So he had given himself permission not to think like a loser. He gave himself permission to think like a winner, to think like a success. That's what I learned from all of the floor traders that I have ever known, that I ever worked with, that I ever traded with. They had a mindset of knowing they did everything right and that they were a winner. Whether at the end of the day they were up or down, overall, they all were pretty wealthy. You know, they had big homes and, you know, expensive cars, and their kids went to private schools, and all this kind of, all the, you know, familiar trappings of success in our society. And so I learned a lot that weekend, and that really was the foundation for when Mark and I got together eventually in late 1984, because we were starting to develop the same mindset of what it means to think like a winner. Now, I'm going to give you another good quote here. This is from Norman Vincent Peale's book, A Guide to Confident Living. Now, I know this book is really old. It's from the 50s or something, but the 1950s. But, you know, a lot of these books, guys, they are pertinent information, and it doesn't matter what decade they were written in or what century. Okay? I live by a lot of quotes by Marcus Aurelius from ancient Rome. So I think I can still live, you know, with a quote from Norman Vincent Peale from the 1950s. So what he wrote in A Guide to Confident Living is, all around you at this moment is divine healing energy. The very atmosphere is charged with it. If you will practice faith, you can be healed of ill will, inferiority, fear, guilt, or any other block which impedes the flow of recreative energy. Power and efficiency are available to you if you will believe. Now, isn't that awesome? Words of comfort, inspiration, and healing, but most importantly, permission. Permission to live as you see fit. To follow your own path, whatever that may be, especially as traders. So giving yourself permission, as we can see just from these few quotes I've shared here today, has been written throughout the ages to the present day. So ask yourself, if this has been written for all those centuries by philosophers, religious leaders, poets, and more, then why shouldn't you believe it? Why shouldn't you believe it? The main point here today is you have to know what it is you want. You have to give yourself permission to get what you want. And as Catherine Ponder states in the Dynamic Laws of Prosperity, when you get definite about prosperity, prosperity can get definite about you. So start thinking for yourself. Start thinking prosperously. Start believing in you and give yourself permission to be the best trader you can be.
Thanks for listening. Paula T. Webb, PhD, is author of the publication Success Without Fear, Independent Prosperity. You can reach the office of Paula T. Webb at 760-636-4290. Her website is paulatwebb.com. Also find Paula's publications at globalpublishinghouse.com.